Good morning. I'm Mary Beth Marsden, and this is Know Your Health from LifeBridge Health, where each week we bring you important health information. And this week we are talking about eczema. Joining us today is Dr. Mitchell Clapper, a dermatologist with the Sinai Division of Dermatology. Dr. Clapper, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
I know this is a problem for a lot of people, but why don't you tell us exactly what it is?
Well, eczema is a broad term and includes many different diseases. What they all have in common is itching, redness, and scaling. There are inherited types of eczema, which run in families. There is contact dermatitis to specific allergens such as poison ivy or nickel. There's the type of eczema caused by overwashing. Patients with obsessive compulsive disorder sometimes wash their hands 20 times a day and get eczema. New mothers who are not used to washing so often when the baby comes along get a rash on the hands. So it's a very broad term, but what they all the underlying diseases have in common is the same sort of appearance.
I would imagine that in some people, they're more treatable. Eczema is more treatable than others. I've heard some people battling it, you know, for years and years on and off. It almost like it flares up and goes away kind of thing.
Well, the inherited type is a chronic disease like any other chronic disease. It doesn't mean it can't be treated, but a patient with such a condition should not expect to be permanently cured. But it's certainly treatable. And anyone who has eczema, which is not responding, should perhaps seek a second opinion.
Okay. Is there a place, you mentioned hand washing, so I'm assuming that some new mothers, as you said, wash their hands, might get it on their hands. Any other place on the body where it's more common?
Well, eczema can occur anywhere. It can occur in the scalp, even under hair. It can really occur anywhere. Washing frequently just removes the natural protective waxes and oils from the skin, which makes a person more vulnerable to eczema. So I tell patients who already have eczema to make their showers cool and fast rather than hot, and to try to reduce the frequency of hand washing. Using hand sanitizers rather than soap and water is helpful because even plain water strips the skin of its natural barrier.
How do you treat it? I mean, is it just topical ointments?
Yeah, we usually use topical steroids, but it's also important to educate the patients that the more they keep the skin lubricated, the less they'll be dependent on prescription medications. And again, I can't emphasize too strongly how important avoiding hot water is. Many patients will tell us that they feel better when they take a hot shower, but that's only because the heat temporarily dulls the nerve endings, but it actually makes the condition worse and there's a rebound.
Do you see it often in babies and children, and do they ever grow out of it?
Well, there are two types of infantile eczema. There's the early onset inherited type, which they don't grow out of, usually, and there's something called infantile seborrheic dermatitis, which tends to resolve after several months. So it's hard to make a prognosis in a newborn.
How about complications if it doesn't go treated? I mean, I'm sure it'd be miserable to live with if you don't treat it, but are there any other complications?
Well, again, once the skin barrier is breached, the patient is a setup for secondary infection. So a lot of people with eczema that's untreated, if they're scratching like crazy, develop secondary infections like impetigo and so forth. Also, kids with eczema are more likely to get viral infections such as warts because their skin immunity just isn't normal.
You mentioned this briefly, and it's 'tis the season. Let's talk a little bit about poison ivy and poison oak and just about some of the myths maybe about it.
Well, Maryland is blessed with poison ivy, poison oak, and poison sumac. It's one of the few places in the United States that has all three. They all have the same chemical. If you're allergic to one, you're allergic to all three. Poison sumac is found mainly in swampy areas around the Chesapeake. It's a myth that the fluid from the blisters spreads it. It's also a myth that you can get this by walking by the plants, unless they're burning and you get the smoke right in your face. When we have several people in the same household who have it, it's not that one got it from the other, it's that they were in the same place at the same time.
Oh, so it can't spread from person to person?
No. However, it can stick to inanimate objects. It sticks to garden tools for up to a month. It can stick to the fur of your dog, but you can't get it from another person because once you've taken your first shower, there's no more sap on the skin. Even though the poison ivy may continue to develop over the next week or so, there's no more resin on the skin after the first shower. And if you know you've been exposed, if you can get in the shower within 15 or 20 minutes, you can wash it off. The sap is water soluble. After 20 minutes, it's too late. So if you know you have poison ivy in your yard and you don't want to hire a gardener and you're working outdoors, you should immediately jump in the shower and wash your garden tools.
Dr. Clapper, thank you for keeping us comfortable in our skin. Appreciate it.
Find
out more about eczema or poison ivy or anything else, to find a LifeBridge Health specialist near you, call 410-601-WELL. That's 410-601-WELL. Or visit LifeBridgeHealth.org/skin. I'm Mary Beth Marsden. Thanks for joining us. It's 10 o'clock.